All right. Well, last week, we spoke about hearing God, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for several weeks, and the amazing things that he does, that the Holy Spirit is God. And after last week, I was out in the parking lot, and Ken Meigs was out there. And Ken, oftentimes after I speak a message or whatever it might be, he might come up and talk to me a little bit about the message. And I got to tell you this, it's always encouraging whenever Ken does this. And, you know, he might talk a little bit more about something I brought up, but it's always encouraging. I really think Ken has that gift. And so when I was out there, he came up and did that. And I just said, you know, Ken, thanks a lot. You know, I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, you're so encouraging. And thank you. And so, you know, basically he said, oh, okay, you're welcome. You know, he started to walk away. And then he stops. And then he comes back. And he says to me, he says, someone said once, I have never met anyone suffering from too much encouragement in Christ. He says, have you ever found that? And I thought about it and I went, no, I don't think I have. And from that conversation came this message. And in speaking about the Holy Spirit and all of the different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, sometimes we think of some that seem more spiritual a lot of the time. But today I want to talk about one of the gifts that for me is one of the most important. That is the gift of encouragement. And something the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And I'm just going to ask for you to pray with me just for a moment. Lord, we just love you today. And Lord, in this brief time that we have, Lord, I just want to pray that through your word, that you would speak to the individual, Lord God, and bring us to that point of unity in the Spirit, Lord God. And that all has to do with the gifts that you give us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So there are some of us, and we could probably name a few in this room, that actually have this gift of encouragement. And it's an incredible gift. And what I'm going to share, for those of you who have that gift, you're going to say, well, yeah, of course. You know, amen. It's the gift of encouragement is incredible. But I really want to say something to everybody today. Every one of us can exercise this quality in some measure. Because encouraging somebody, it's such a godly quality, and we see it throughout Scripture and many times from God himself. And John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So we've spoken, discussed the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, is called the helper, or paraclete in Greek. This word in Christian theology is transliterated from that Greek noun parakletos, which is encourager, counselor, helper, comforter, challenger, and exhorter. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord, is named our helper. He's named our encourager. And so he's always with us. And throughout Scripture, encouragement's about the life-giving power of our God and our shared life, that's all of us, our shared life in the Lord. And the power of encouragement is absolutely incredible. It's incredible what you can do for someone else. Okay? Think about this. Is there anybody that you know that you can sit with, you can talk to? They're sharing with you. And when you're finished speaking with them or listening to them, you feel absolutely encouraged. You feel like, wow, I can move forward. I can't believe this. When I sat down to talk, I didn't feel this way. I didn't think this way. And now I feel like that in God, I can really move forward. Well, that's somebody with that gift of encouragement. And if you think about the word encourage, you know the prefix N means to make or put in. Coupled with the word courage, that means that you are literally putting courage inside somebody else. You're an encourager. So it's not some simple positive thing. You are absolutely giving someone some courage, helping them in their life. It's more than just saying a few nice words or to sugarcoat our words to display optimism. It's a supernatural divine gift from the Holy Spirit, the encourager, okay, to impart that grace of God to another. And it has the ability to transform people. So we're already seeing what our ministry of encouragement can look like. We're standing with other people. We're imparting courage to other people, bringing a life-giving presence to one another. And again, it's a lot more than saying hi as we come in to church from the parking lot. Real encouragement is one way we experience the Holy Spirit together. And it's real community. And this kind of community is not life depleting. It's life enriching. It's not guarded. It's not aloof. But it's all in and involved. It's not scrutinizing. It's not criticizing. But it's affirming and strengthening. And the one another commands of the New Testament, they paint a picture of the beauty of human relationships. And these one another's include not only encourage one another, love one another, welcome one another, confess your sins to one another. It's a total way of enjoying Christ together. And at the same time, here's some one another's that you're not going to find in Scripture. It doesn't say scold one another. It doesn't say humble one another. Doesn't say pressure one another. It doesn't say complain to one another. So let's look at just a few scriptures, and there's so many that encourage us. The Bible is incredible. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ, God Himself, tells us to take heart, to have courage. Psalm 31:24, be strong, let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So the psalmist is encouraging us and challenging us to continue to wait for God, to trust Him, and that He'll come through. Be strong, take heart. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is saying to Israel, and He's saying to us, it's okay. I am with you. I'll help you out. I'm going to make you strong. And then one more I've got, Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you might have heard this before, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So King David, and really one of the most encouraging, comforting, and filled with trust kind of scriptures, Psalm 23, no matter what you go through, God is with you. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. Look to Him. The Apostle Paul gave many encouragements and some lots of challenges. He was a great guy for challenging us. Philippians 2, so if there's if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So Paul exhorts us, he challenges us to love one another, work together, comfort one another. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit, guys. I'm going to skip ahead to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, because this is a mandate from the Lord. This is a charge from the Lord. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but what?" Everybody say encouraging. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So listen, encouragement is all through the Bible. God knows that we need it. So I'm just going to ask you a very personal question that you don't have to answer. How are you doing? Are you being an encouraging person to others? Or are you always depending on others to encourage you? Do you say words to lift the spirits of those around you? Or do you consistently find fault? And not just finding fault, but then voicing those things. And you might say, you know, look, I have been made a certain way. That's not easy for me. Well, I'm just going to tell you, that's bogus. That's not going to work. Because, as I have said before, I'm the kind of person that finds fault. As I've also said before, we need those kind of people because they're the ones that spell check for us. They're the ones that see error in things we do so that we, you know, so we can get it fixed. And so we need those kinds of people that see those things. But what do you do with what you see? What do you do with that? Okay. Are you being encouraging? And then I'm going to read Ephesians 4:29, and I'm not saying this to in any way kick you around at all. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So if you struggle with negativity, if you struggle with having a critical spirit, I'm just here to say you could change your way of thinking. I mean, it might take practice, but you can do it. And yes, God is the one who changes us, but we do have a part to play, okay? So it's one thing to see fault or hear it in others, but again, what are you doing with that information? You know, there was a guy in the Bible named Barnabas, really cool guy. His real name was Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas. So the guys who knew him the best call him Barnabas. And what does that mean? It means son of encouragement. Think anybody would call you that? I don't know. I think there's some of you that maybe so. But that's a great thing to be called. I would like to have known Barnabas. Sounds like a great guy. I love people that encourage other people. So what happens when we don't have a culture of encouragement? Paul says in 2 Timothy, "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels." So when you don't have a culture of encouragement, you end up with people arguing, people frustrated and negative. I can't stand that. As a leader, as a pastor over the years, especially pastoring, you know, groups of people, there's nothing that makes me more sick to my stomach than to hear negative talk and people tearing down other people. It's no good. I learned a huge lesson many years ago when I was at my last church, and it was a church that was very, very small and then grew really fast. And suddenly I went from having a, I don't know how many of you remember overheads, but they were something you put on this. I don't remember what that thing's called, but anyway, you put these sheets over it, and then the words would be up on the screen. I mean, we have come a long way. Yes, and so it was a lady. Her name was Kit Rediger. Just saw her yesterday. Anyway, she would do that, and then I had my guitar and I would sing. That's how we started. And so, but very quickly, within a few years, the church grew really fast for various reasons, good reasons. And suddenly I went from having just me and her doing that to having three bands, just all kinds of singers. We had a choir. I mean, it was big ministry. And that all sounds fantastic. But as a leader, you know, I found out really quick that if you don't handle things well, that things can go south. And I was finding people arguing, people saying things in front of everybody else, upset with other people. And I was just trying to be nice. Nice only goes so far. But anyway, I had a mess. I had a whole bunch of people, talented people, and they were making some good music. But, I mean, every practice was just a challenge. And so my wife and I went to, you don't have to go on the other side of the world to fix your problems, but in this case, we went to Sydney, Australia. And we went to the Hillsong Conference back in the late 90s. And I saw something I have never forgotten to this day. And it's one of the reasons why I am so about this gift of encouragement is because I began to see that churches, big churches, can work. That people were encouraged right and left everywhere I went. Leaders were encouraging. Leaders were believing in people. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm always seeing faults. I'm always seeing the difficult things in people that are hard to get along with. And they were seeing, by choice and by teaching, that if you have Jesus Christ living within you, your potential is incredible. So as a leader, I was seeing, wow, I have been missing the boat here. Instead of just seeing the fault, I need to see what God is doing. So my wife and I began to pray that way and believing in people and encouraging people. And it all turned around in time. And I learned so many lessons. We learned so many lessons and how valuable it is to encourage people rather than pointing out faults and complaining. It's an incredible thing. The ministry of encouragement comes with no warnings. I mean, we can't take it too far. I mean, if we're sincere, you know. The Bible doesn't say encourage one another, but be careful. Don't do it too much. Doesn't say that. You know, you can say it as much as you want if you mean it. But again, when we aren't cultivating a social environment of encouragement, then what are we getting? What happens then? And as I said, I know from experience that if you lack encouragement, you probably aren't going to enjoy the ministry you're in. Okay? You may not be energized to do ministry. And when I say this, I don't think we should live on being encouraged by other people. Some of us need it more than others. I get that. But if we aren't encouraging other people, we're going to see that in our ministry. We're going to see that in people that we're working with. And remember, one of the theme statements we keep saying, it's not just what the Holy Spirit does for us, okay? It's what he does through us, through us. And that's spiritual maturity. And I bet if you consciously become an encourager of other people that you're going to end up being encouraged as well. For a lot of people, they can hardly imagine how wonderful it is to be frequently, strongly encouraged. Some of you may have grown up in a really rough family, tough family, tough environment, you didn't get encouragement, you know? You just didn't get it. But that's okay. You'll start today. You'll start today. You'll start today not just looking for encouragement, but you're going to become an encourager, okay? I'm going to skip down a little farther. I'm just going to skip down to some practical encouragement. How can we grow in encouraging one another? How can we do this? So the first thing is take advantage of the Bible in your relationships. That's kind of a different statement. I kept looking at it going, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The Bible is the most encouraging book in all the world. We'd be crazy not to capitalize on it. It's right here. We have it. In our churches, small groups, homes. I mean, we can sing the Bible. We can pray the Bible. We can enjoy the Bible. We can be encouraged together by all that Christ is for us according to Scripture. But you know, when I start talking about this, I kind of have a thing about, this is me, I kind of have a thing about quoting Scripture all the time to people. I mean, you can share the truths of God's Word and have the Bible active in your life and encouraging others without being weird and strange. I'm just going to say that. You can. You can do it. We can use the Bible, and it's incredible, but you don't have to be weird doing it. And you're like, well, what do you mean? I think you know what I mean, but you need to use your own vernacular. Who are you? How do you talk to people? How do you talk to people in a normal conversation? Okay. Oftentimes, people who continually quote Scripture all the time to you, they kind of come across disingenuous. If you quote Scripture, that's okay. But just be genuine, not just so that you have an answer for somebody's question or so that, you know, you don't want to make it sound like, well, I know a lot of the Bible. It doesn't matter. I mean, that can be awkward, and it can sound like you got social issues. I'm just being honest with y'all, okay? People don't care how much you know the Bible in most cases. They need the truth of Scripture, the encouragement of Scripture in real life. In real life. It's there to be had. So share the truths of God's Word in how you live, stories you tell about real life, and in encouraging words for other people, helping to strengthen them, to help give them courage. All right, the second one is share what God is doing in your life. Romans 1:12 says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So every believer has a story to tell. You do. Not only how Jesus converted us in the past, but how he's real to you right now. And the Apostle Paul considered your faith as encouraging as his own. He's both yours and mine. You know, he's saying it's not just me encouraging you, but it's you encouraging me. And we do this together. This is what we do as a family. It's an incredible thing. We all have a story to tell. So if God's doing something in your life, and you're excited about it, honestly, sincerely, share what he's doing at the appropriate times. Because you're about encouraging other people. And it's not just encouraging them in maybe their talents or whatever that might be, but you're encouraging them in Christ, in the reality of God in your life. Number three is allow God to change the way you think. We talked about that earlier. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, changing the way we think. You might have been alive a while and you feel like, well, I can still be kind of negative. You know, that's good if you recognize it. If you don't recognize it, that's no good. So we're going to pray in a minute here that God would reveal things to you like this, okay? But if you recognize it, you know, you can be better. You can be better, and I think all of us can be better at this and seeing the good. Changing the way we think, it begins with reading and meditating on Scripture. But just knowing how we ought to be won't necessarily change how we think. We have to purposely think about these things. And when a negative thought comes into your mind about someone or something, ask the Lord to help you. What does the Bible say about how I'm supposed to act, how I'm supposed to respond? What does the Bible say about that? Just in your mind. That's meditating on Scripture so you know these things. And I mean, I am an expert. I am an expert on this. And so I could stand here and I could tell you that is what I go through every day. Every day. I have thoughts that come through my mind where I see error. And I'm sorry, my mind just does that. I can't help it. It just does. But I learned a long time ago, what am I going to do with those thoughts? Am I going to say to the person next to me, oh, I just can't believe. What kind of decision is that? What are they doing with their life? Oh, that's just ridiculous. I just can't believe they're acting that way. Okay, you might see that. You might see that, and it might be true. But what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with those thoughts? You're going to prayerfully, kind of in your spirit, take a step back and go, okay, God, help me here. What's going to give grace to someone else? God, give me wisdom here. Give me wisdom here in what to say. Help me to love when I don't know how to love. Help me to say the right thing that's going to be in love. Seasoned with grace. With grace and knowing what Scripture says, how I ought to speak, what do I ought to do with these things. It's going to change the way you think, and it's going to change the way you speak. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Somebody is really bugging you, pray for them. Kind of simple. Speak good things. Oh, sometimes I share too much. even today, okay? I have a lot of things to think about. Everybody's busy. I had a busy week. A lot of things going through my mind today, ton of things. Even as I'm sitting down here, I had so many things going through my mind. I just turn to my wife and I go, will you pray for me? I just go, just pray for me. And so she did. And I just need to say that even in my mind, as I'm sharing about Light Fest, I'm sharing about some announcement kinds of things, as I'm speaking, I'm praying and I'm saying, God, help me. Help me, Lord, all these thoughts I have, all the difficult things, all of the things that are hard to handle. Lord, help me. Help me and help me to speak words of grace that come from you. Speak the good. Speak the good in time through the word, the Bible, through prayer, and through purposefully applying the word, you're going to change the way you think. You're going to change the way you think because of the power of the word, power of the Holy Spirit through that word, okay? And by you saying, yes, Lord, I want you to change me. I want you to help me to change the way I think and change the way I speak. And that can happen for every single person within the sound of my voice. Every one of you. You don't have to have the gift of encouragement. Oh, I can think of people. I can think of people in here. You got the gift of encouragement, and I love it. I love it. Because I know when I talk to you, it's going to be good. It's going to be positive. I love that. I love that. But we can all do this. And if I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. So this culture we live in can be incredibly daunting, full of deception, and full of hate, as we know. We see it all over the place. But don't freak out. It's okay. It's all right. We have a more powerful way to face life today than to listen to all that. Okay? We can be encouraging people. I don't care. I don't care what some person on TV says about Christians. I don't care what happens with other Christians in terms of ways they've fallen or whatever it might be. For you and for me, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to speak in a positive way. I'm going to speak encouragement in the lives of other people because I want to be able to give them courage. I want to encourage them. I want to make a difference. Don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want to make a difference in somebody's life? Difference in other people's lives? This gift of encouragement, this idea of encouragement is huge. It's huge. For me, it's as important as any gift there is because I've seen the damage that the opposite can do. But I've also seen the life that can come through encouraging words. Think about that. Think about when you're having a rough day and somebody comes up and says something encouraging to you, something to help give you courage. Your whole day oftentimes will change. And you can do that for somebody else. It's incredible. It's incredible. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more. All the more. Let's pray. Lord, every one of us in this room is at a different place in how we think. Every one of us is at a different place in how we speak. Some of us are far along in terms of encouraging people and being a positive influence in our lives so that we can help other people. Some of us aren't. But Lord, help every single one of us today. Lord God, you are so incredibly great. And you'll take us right where we are. I can't even believe it sometimes, that you'll take us right where we are. And you'll say, today's a new day. Today is a new day. Let's change the way you think. Let's change the way you speak. Let's see if you can make a difference in this world. Let's see if you can help somebody else. Lord, we just love you so much today. We thank you that that's the kind of God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand up.